Good evening, everyone. Today I'm going to be talking about systems for delivering online services. By online services here, I refer to applications like search engines, social media, most of the applications that are hosted out of the cloud. A typical system for online service delivery includes three key components. First are the data centers, which typically hold the application logic. Second, the proxies, which act as front-end servers and serve as caches and means to split TCP. And third, the wide area network that provides connectivity between the proxies and the data centers. The user traffic is served out of the data center. However, it still passes through both the proxies and the WAN links. The online service delivery today is evolving. Traditional service delivery systems, the different components are typically owned and operated by different entities. For example, the WAN can be operated by multiple ISPs, whereas the proxies are operated by content distributors like Akamai. However, with companies like Google and Microsoft spreading their global presence, they've started to own most parts of the infrastructure. The others are also trending in the similar direction. To these companies, the entire delivery system looks different. For example, here the WAN is a single logical entity, and the proxies are servers where companies can run their custom code. Having this combined control over all parts of the infrastructure enables them to control the flow of traffic in, out, and within the infrastructure. For example, they can use how the users are mapped to the different proxies to control how traffic enters your infrastructure, and you can use proxy to DZ mapping and WAN path selection to decide how traffic flows within your data center, within the delivery infrastructure. Doing so gives you many advantages. Let us look at a very simple example. Consider a set of users who are generally served out of proxy P1. Now, if the links behind these proxies are already at capacity, then there's no way for the traffic to be served without experiencing any congestion. In such cases, diverting the traffic to an alternate proxy, for here proxy P2, and changing the WAN weights between in the routers behind the proxies, you could serve these, the traffic could use the unused capacities in other parts of your infrastructure. The choice of which alternate proxy to use could be decided by your end-to-end latency rather than going to the closest proxy, which is proxy 3 here. However, proxy 3 is bad because proxy 3 to data center 2 is longer, and you would rather prefer to go to proxy 2 and to a closer data center. Thus, joint control gives you two big advantages. One is you could increase efficiency, where efficiency is the amount of traffic you could support without experiencing any congestion. And you could also improve your end user performance, where performance here is the end user latency. The performance here is end-to-end latency of the users. Note that improving the efficiency helps reducing the operating costs for the companies, and also end-user performance improvement keeps the end-users happy, which in turn is more revenue for the service provider. Today, we introduced to you a system called Footprint, which takes advantage of this joint control and decides the optimal forwarding configuration for different users. At the core is a centralized controller, which takes as input the topology, the various load information, and the latency information together with the system capacity and decides the optimal forwarding for different users. We don't do this at a per user scale because it's clearly not scalable, but we rather group users based on locations or their end user service providers and decide an forwarding configuration for a group of users. Footprint will decide how the users are mapped to the proxy and how the incident traffic on the proxy is mapped to backend data centers and what paths to take within the network. The goal, as I said before, is to increase, maximize the total amount of congestion-free traffic and minimize end-to-end latency. Going forward, I'll talk about challenges that are involved in computing this optimal configuration, and then I'll briefly talk about the system challenges involved in deploying Footprint, and then I'll conclude with some evaluation. Any traffic engineering mechanism or capacity matching algorithm works as follows. You have a set of user demands and a set of resources with different capacities. The goal is to map the user demands to capacities such that you never exceed, the load on a resource never exceeds its capacity, and you admit as much traffic as you can. Now, if there is some cost associated in mapping a particular user to a particular resource, then you would like to minimize those costs. The cost here, for example, could be latencies, and that can also be formulated by in your optimization problem as minimizing costs. Typically, these problems can be efficiently solved by formulating a very simple linear program. So how, can we just use the same model in our case? Well, the answer is clearly no. And the reason is that the nature of the traffic is different for online service applications. unlike traditional traffic engineering applications, where the traffic is represented as bits per second or packets per second, the user traffic in online service delivery arrives over sessions. For example, this could be sessions like your browser, the one that your browser establishes with the front-end proxies, and multiple requests and responses are sent over this. These sessions arrive at different time points in the epoch and last for arbitrary durations based on the nature of the application. And thus, the load and the number of sessions that are active on a resource and the load that it generates varies with respect to time. Further, these sessions tend to stick to the proxy NDC. This is because if the forwarding configuration changes in the middle of a TCP session, fresh DNS requests are not made, and thus users are not diverted to a new proxy. We look at it through a very simple example, the effects of how session stickiness matters. Consider a simple user group that has been forwarded to a proxy P1, but then at time T, the controller changes its forwarding to a proxy, alternate proxy P2. Now, if session stickiness were not to be there, then the load will immediately shift from proxy P1 to proxy P2. However, if sessions were sticky, only the new sessions that start after the configuration change will be diverted to an alternate proxy, whereas the old sessions will still continue going to the previous proxy. And as sessions expire, the load gradually decreases in proxy P1 and the load increases in proxy P2. The rate of increase and the time taken all depend on how the session life distribution spans out and the rate of arrival of new sessions. So the non-zero session lifetime and the fact that sessions are sticky creates a gradually varying load from a user group to any resource. Thus, the capacity constraints which you needed to satisfy have now to be satisfied at all points in time. This is very hard to do if NFT doesn't have a closed form, and it's basically computationally hard. And for applications with arbitrary session life distribution, we have seen that there's no way to get a closed form for the load on a resource. So how do we guarantee congestion-free delivery in the presence of temporally varying load? We model the load with high fidelity. So basically, in our case, we take the load on a resource as the load contributed by sessions that arrive in the current epoch and the load by sessions from the previous epochs. We've seen that for the session life distributions we have observed in real data, the load always follows a particular pattern. The amplitude of this curve depends on the rate of arrival of new sessions. However, for different amplitudes, the pattern doesn't change. Similarly, for load created by old sessions, the pattern again is predetermined. The amplitude just varies based on the number of sessions you have at the start of the epoch. Thus, the total load has the following pattern, where lambda is essentially the arrival rate of new sessions, which is the decision variable for our centralized controller. Here, f of t and g of t are pattern functions, which are dependent only on the session life distribution and do not depend on the decision variables that you have. So even writing it in a very nice form is not enough to ensure that the load can be guaranteed to be less than the capacity at all points in time. For this, we go ahead and discretize the function ft into f bar. We basically replace it by a tight piecewise linear upper bound. And this approximation can take a maximum only at the corner points of the piecewise linear distribution. This is true for any lambda. Thus, the capacity constraints have now to be checked only at certain points in the entire duration of the epoch. We can formulate a very simple linear program, simple efficient linear program to calculate the optimal lambdas, which basically decide how many new sessions have to be put on a particular resource. Recall that footprint systems has three parts. One was you have to take the inputs, which basically is the load on the system, the latencies, and the topology. You have to give it to an optimal forwarding configuration, and you have to finally implement the configuration. Till now, we have seen how to compute the optimal forwarding configuration. Going further, we'll briefly discuss how the inputs are gathered and how the configuration is actually implemented in the system. The input data, in our case, is collected every 5 minutes. This is because we update the forwarding configuration every 5 minutes. Our epoch size is 5 minutes. The different inputs that we need are basically the user group to latency measurements. We take advantage of control on end host applications to actively measure the latency from a particular user group to every proxy. In specifically, we actually instrumented JavaScript on Bing.com web page so that whenever you issue a query, multiple probes are sent to different proxies, the front-end proxies, and the latency data is actively measured. For user workload, we approximate the estimated user workload based on prior workloads seen in different epochs. We have seen is a very accurate estimate. For system health status, we take advantage of Microsoft's internal system monitoring pipelines. Most of this part about input gathering has already been deployed in production, and the Bing queries it's deployed in 20% of the Bing queries. Implementing the computed configuration, note that we have three key decisions. We have to decide how users map to proxy. We do that by modifying DNS. The proxy to DC mapping is decided by custom software running on the proxy servers. The WAN patch selection in Microsoft's WAN is decided by OpenFlow, which is very similar to the traffic engineering papers you have seen previously, like SWAN and B4. We have prototyped an implementation of footprint on a very modest size test bed with tens of machines and a decent topology. For evaluation, we evaluated footprint on both the test bed and using real data. For this talk, I'll focus primarily on experiments with real data. The goal is to decide how advantageous is the joint decision making, and also to decide the advantage of the temporal modeling. We collect data from production deployment of footprint. We take 1 week worth of data and evaluate on multiple topologies restricted to regions like North America and Europe. To give you an idea of the scale of this experiment, we have close to 10K user groups and hundreds of routers, links, and proxies in order of 10 data centers. The metric, as we have discussed before, is efficiency, which is basically the maximum traffic with no congestion, and performance is the aggregate end-to-end latency. To compare the effectiveness of joint control, we compare against FastRoute, which was published here in NSDI 2015. FastRoute basically decides the user group to proxy mapping as the shortest proxy available for a particular user group. This is what happens when you use Anycast as routing. The proxy to DC mapping is again decided as the DC with the shortest latency, but here in this case, active probes are sent between the proxy and every DC to determine which is the closest DC at any given point in time. The WAN patch selection is decided by a completely independently running traffic engineering module. The graph here shows the normalized traffic scale. We do not show the absolute numbers here for confidentiality reasons, but we can see here that footprint is able to carry at least twice as much traffic as FastRoute. For evaluating the performance of footprint, we compare the end-to-end latency at 70% of the max scale of FastRoute. This is the normal operating range. The graph here shows the end-to-end latency, and it's split into three parts, basically the delay cost from the user group to the proxy, and the propagation delay from the proxy to the data center, and the queuing delay incurred. Queuing delay here is measured as a function of utilization by using a piecewise linear approximation of the utilization to latency curve. We can see here that even at 70% of the max capacity, FastRoute incurs a heavy queuing delay penalty. However, Footprint is able to avoid it by by minimizing the link utilization. Overall, we can see that the end-to-end latency is decreased by 60%. To evaluate efficiency of temporal modeling, we compare against two simple methods for estimating the load in a current epoch. Here, the loads are not temporal, but note that they still use the joint forwarding configuration selection. In this case, the load on a resource, in the case of joint average, the load on a resource is decided by the arrival rate of sessions times the average session length. So we don't use the entire information of the session length distribution, but just use the average here. Joint was basically models the load on an epoch as the maximum of old load and the maximum of new load. We see that such modeling doesn't suffice. Footprint by modeling the load accurately is able to at least carry 50% more traffic than the alternate models. At this point, it is relevant to mention the related work in this field. We are not the first to provide present a joint traffic engineering paper in 2012. To coordinate or not, talked about how edge mapping and van route selection can be done together. However, they worked in a setting where the different operating modules have to coordinate with each other. We operate in a completely single entity world and highlight the need for doing this temporal modeling for our workloads. To summarize, I want to say that joint decision making of the van route selection and edge proxy selection enables you to carry more traffic and reduce the end-to-end latency significantly. We also highlight the need for high fidelity temporal models. We see that by just doing this temporal modeling, we can accommodate 50% more traffic. And it's very characteristic of this load. To conclude, I want to say that these techniques that we have developed doesn't necessarily have to live and die with this paper or with this system. The idea of doing session modeling can also be applied to other areas like load balancing across middle boxes and etc. With that, I conclude, and I'm ready to take any questions.
Junchen Jiang from CMU. Yeah, this is a good talk. I'm wondering, so you mentioned the RTT measurement, the piggyback measurement from RTT is the kind of the input to your model, right? Mm-hmm. How do you handle the variance in these measurements? So for example, if you have two paths, two client to server paths, where one has mean very low mean RTT but very high variance, versus the other may slightly higher mean but very small variance. How do you handle that?
So you have to understand that these numbers have been calculated using a large size user group. So the user group size are of the order of like cities or blocks of IPs. They typically have very less variance. In any case, even if you want to figure out how do you handle different latencies, you could take the worst case. You could take the mean plus 2 sigma and use that as a metric to your optimization problem. You could also formulate stochastic versions of the optimization problem that we have that handle the variance in the measurements.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, I'm Daniel Eisenbud from Google. I noticed in your few slides back that FastStart has lower external delay than this, and I'm wondering if that's an intentional consequence of increasing external delay so you can minimize other delays, or whether that's because of over-aggregation of users who actually may have different optimal paths either behind the same resolver or in some other larger scale grouping.
So it's primarily because you want to redirect users to proxies that have link capacities behind them. So at some point of time, it's good to forward users to closest proxy. But if your system capacity behind those proxies is going to incur more queuing delay than what you would have gained by, it's going to incur more queuing delay than what would have happened by diverting it to another proxy, you should go ahead and divert it to another proxy. That's kind of what the takeaway is.
Hi, Vincent Maget, Facebook. You mentioned you use the DNS for the grouping. How do you do when your group is too big?
The user group?
Yeah.
So the way in which we group the users is, we first group the users by the /24 blocks, which is, and then we aggregate users together. So users that have, more details can be found in the paper, but to give you a gist, more users that are mapped to, that have the same performance, are grouped together and the same forwarding is decided for each of them.